Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
So we're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 14. Starting with text 37. We'll just chant all together until 45, and then we'll chant responsively. Okay, text 37. Kaya Patra Droni Ali Panchasata Eka Eka Jani Dasa Dona Dida Epata. There then arrived 5 or 7 loads of plates made of the leaves of the kataki tree. Each man was supplied 10 of these plates, and in this way the dishes were served. Kirtanyara Parisrama Jani Goraraya Tansabare Kayate Prabhu Mani Daya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood the labor of all the kirtan chanters. Therefore, he was very eager to feed them sumptuously. Pati Pampati Pantikari Bhakta Gani Vasaya Parivasana Karibari Panagana. All the devotees sat down in lines, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally began to distribute the prasad. Prabhu na kayankeya kalikaran bojana sarupashane tabe kalinabhidana. However, the devotees could not accept the prasad until Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took it. It was Sarup Goswami who informed the Lord of this. Apani vaisha prabhu bojana karite Tumina kaliya kaha na parikarite. Sarup Damodar said, "My lord, would you please sit down? No one will eat until you do."
Tabe mahaprabhu vaisha nityanana bojana kaliya sabhavikana pariya.
At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat down with his personal associates and fed every one of them very sumptuously until they were filled to the necks.
Bhojana kari vasila prabhu kari akshmanana prasadarambhila kari shatanjana.
After finishing, the Lord washed his mouth and sat down. There was so much extra prasad that it was distributed to thousands.
Prabhu Vira Govinda Dinahina Jane Delhi Kalani Karana.
Following the orders of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Govinda, his personal servant, called for all the poor beggars who were unhappy due to their poverty and fed them sumptuously. And this one we could do responsively. I'm not very good at chanting Bengali, but here it goes.
Kalangera Bojana Ranga Deki Gorahari. Hari Bolo Bali Tare Upadeshakari. Kanga Gelar Bojana Ranga Dehi Gorahari. Hari Bolo Bari Bali Tare Upadesha Kari.
Hari Bolo Bali Tare Upadeshakari.
Hari Bola Bali Tare Upadesha Kari Kamrela Bojanaranga Hari Hari Bola Bali Tare Upadesha Kari Kandagela Bhojanaranga Dehe Kora Hari Hari Bola Vali Tare Upadesha Kari Kandagela Bhojanaranga Dehe Kora Hari Hari Bola Bali Tare Upadesha Kari Ganga Gela Bhojana Ranga Dehe Gora Hari Hari Bola Bali Tare Upadesha Kari Ganga Gela Of the beggars, Bhojanaranga, process of eating, Deki, cease, Gaurahari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hari Bolo Bali, chanting Hari Bol, Tare, them. Upadesha Kari instructs. Translation. Observing the beggars eating prasad, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, Hari Bol!
Hari Bol!
And instructed them to chant the holy name. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In a song, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur chants, Michi Mayurve se Yachobe se Kachahabu Dubai Diva Krishna Das Avishvas Harata Adukanai. Everyone is captivated by the waves of the ocean of nations. But if everyone would immediately accept Lord Sri Krishna as their eternal master, there would be no chance of being carried away by the waves of illusion. Makes it sound simple there. Simple for the simple, but complicated for the crooked. But if everyone would immediately accept Lord Sri Krishna as their eternal master, there would be no chance of being carried away by the waves of illusion. Then all sufferings would stop. Krishna conducts the material world under the three modes of material nature. And consequently, there are three platforms of life, higher, middle, and lower. On whatever platform one may be situated, one is tossed by the waves of material nature. Someone may be rich, someone may be middle class, and someone may be a poor beggar. It doesn't matter. As long as one is under the spell of the three modes of material nature, he must continue to experience these divisions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised the beggars to chant Hari Bol while taking prasad. Chanting means accepting oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna. This is the only solution, regardless of social position. Everyone is suffering under the spell of Maya. Therefore, the best course is to learn how to get out of the clutches of Maya. That is the verdict of the Bhagavad Gita, 14:26. Mamchayo virachena bhakti yogena sevate sagunam samyajnanam brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the mode's material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One can overcome the spell of Maya and attain the transcendental platform by agreeing to engage in the devotional service of the Lord. Devotional service begins with Shravanam Kirtanam. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised the beggars to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra for elevation to the transcendental position. On the transcendental platform, there is no distinction between the rich, the middle class, and the poor. And then we have one more verse. We can just chant it together. Hari Bolo Bali Kangara Prema Vyasa Yaya Achayana Abhutaya Karigora Raya. As soon as the beggars chanted the holy name, Hari Bol, they were immediately absorbed in ecstatic love of Godhead. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed wonderful pastimes. In purport by Srila Prabhupada, to feel the emotion of ecstatic love of God is to be on the transcendental platform. If one can keep himself in that transcendental position, he will surely return home back to Godhead. In the spiritual world, there are no higher, middle, or lower classes. This is confirmed in the Ishopanishad Mantra 7. Yasmin Savarani Bhutani Atmavabhu Vijanata Tatrako Mokaha Shoka Ekatvam Anupasyataha. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? Om Agyana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksur Ummilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangang Langhaite Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Bande Shri Guru Dinatarno Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminita Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharame Neva Sesha Sunyavadi Pastata Deshatarna. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So this is a wonderful pastime of Lord Chaitanya. I just wanted to start out with how Lord Chaitanya was concerned, or he had compassion about how the performers of kirtan were tired. So he wanted to make sure that they had prasadam. It's just an example of how Lord Chaitanya was taking care of his devotees. And there's many examples of Srila Prabhupada's compassion. And actually, if you look at it, it was just from this one person, Srila Prabhupada's love and compassion, that the Krishna consciousness movement has spread all over the world. You know, so it's such a powerful thing, and it has such deep-reaching ramifications. Also, I was thinking about how in Mayapur and Vrindavan, Srila Prabhupada wanted all the Western devotees to come and visit these holy places and, you know, receive benefit from visiting the holy Dham. And therefore, he built these different buildings in Mayapur and Vrindavan, just so that the Western devotees wouldn't feel so inconvenienced when they visited there, because in the beginning, everything was very simple and austere, and it was hard for the Western devotees to stay there. which is another story, I think I've told it before, Srila Prabhupada was at a darshan, was giving an evening darshan in New Vrindavan, and there was one Mataji, Gopal Lakshmi Priya, was in the crowd, and Prabhupada saw her, you know, with just her sari and choli on. She looked cold, and Prabhupada actually stopped the darshan and was asking her, "Are you okay? You know, are you all right?" And when the temple president said, "You know, she's just happy to be, you know, in your presence, Srila Prabhupada," Prabhupada said, "No, you should ask the woman, you know, at least once a month that if they're all right." He said, "They're too shy, they won't ask for things. So you have to make sure that you are taking care of them, make sure you ask." And also there's another story in 1974. A story in New Vrindavan where, not a story, but it actually happened, that the devotees and the deities were attacked in 1973. And some devotees got shot up, and you know, the deities were attacked and things. And so after that, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, you should have some kshatriya guards, you know, guarding the deities and the devotees. So they had a kshatriya program there. And when Srila Prabhupada came on in 1974, there was always made sure there was at least one armed guard, you know, with Srila Prabhupada just for protection during his walks and things. And on this one morning walk in 1974, this one kshatriya, he asked a question to Srila Prabhupada. He said, "Is it all right if we shoot and kill the rabbits and the groundhogs because they keep eating all the vegetables that we've planted for the devotees and the deities?" And Prabhupada was like visibly, shaken by that question. And he said, "No." He said, "You should grow enough for the rabbits and the groundhogs too." You know, and it was, you know, for me, just a, in one sense, he couldn't believe the question was even asked, but, you know, he wanted us to, you know, develop these finer, you know, sentiments, have, you know, some compassion on all living entities. So these are just, you know, a few examples. Also, I wanted to read, you know, Srila Prabhupada in the purport to verse, I forget which verse, but he quotes this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it's actually two verses from the song. Lost the place here, but it's believe the song is called Radha Krishna Bowl. It's just gonna get it here. Excuse me. Yeah, here it is. And Srila Prabhupada was very fond of these songs by Bhaktivinoda. Of course, this song that he used to chant before every class, this Jai Radha Madhava, was also written by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But this one that he's quoting here, it's a song called Radha Krishna Bowl. And it goes, Radha Krishna Bowl, Bowl, Bolo Re Sobai, Asika Diya Sabna Diya, Preche Nichi Gor Nitai, Hari Bowl, Bolo Re Asika Diya, Radha Krishna Bowl, Bowl, Bolo Re Sobai. And then these two verses, it's Michi Mayarabose Yachobeshe Kacha Habu Dububai Haribo Bolore by Mayarabose Radha Krishna Bo Bo Bolore Sobai. And I'll read the English. This is chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. When Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda came dancing through Nadia, they gave these teachings. Chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. You are caught up in a whirlpool of senseless action and are sinking lower and lower. Chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. If you just understand that the spirit soul is the eternal servant of Krishna, you will never have any more sorrows. Chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. Chant Hare Krishna, and your eyes will fill with tears, and your body will feel transcendental shivering. Chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. Simply chant Radha Krishna and join with us. Those are the only alms we beg. Chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. All dangers will be gone when the name is chanted, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Chant, chant, Radha Krishna, everyone chant. Such a wonderful song. And Srila Prabhupada was stressing the verse that if you just understand that you're a spirit soul and you're an eternal servant of Krishna, you will never have any more sorrows. And it sounds like such a simple thing. Just accept it. That's all. So it's like, what is the difficulty? Of course, I am the difficulty. So if we can just do these things. It's well, also in this purport, Prabhupada talks about how Shravana Kirtanam is the beginning. It's also the end. And it's considered like the medicine. You know, if we want to purify ourselves from all these bad things, you know, material desires, which our material desires are actually keeping us from Krishna. I'm trying to think of this story that Jananivas Prabhu in Mayapur tells it of how Prabhupada one time says the distance between you and Krishna is, I want this. Because you have a separate desire, that's the distance that is keeping you from Krishna. So if we have any, you know, material desires of our own, it's going to keep us from Krishna. And the way to get free from material desires is to simply hear and chant about Krishna, the Shravana Kirtanam. It's the medicine, especially in this age of Kali. It's also, you know, we're talking about prasadam here. Just like in order to be healthy, you have to eat. You know, you eat every day and you get strength. In the same way, if you want spiritual strength, you have to hear and chant every day. So this is the process. It's very simple. Anybody can do it, but we have to do it. That's, you know, that's what's on us. It's described like our happiness is predestined. You know, we're already going to get a certain amount of happiness in this life. And the example is given, our distress is also predestined. Just like nobody tries for distress, but still it happens. It's because that's, you know, our karma going along. But when you become a devotee, of course, that stops. But we don't have to try for happiness, just like we don't have to try for distress. But what we do have to try for is carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. That should be, you know, our focus. We have to get a clear understanding of what, you know, the spiritual master wants and carry out those instructions. And of course, you know, he wants us to read and know these books and chant Hare Krishna. It's a very simple process. And we have to do it. And if we neglect the order of the spiritual master, then there's... how do I say it? There's no chance of us making spiritual advancement. So, we're... just understand we're eternal servants of Krishna. Our constitutional position is to serve Krishna and to serve the servants of Krishna. And that makes us happy. Just like food, the hand takes the food, it puts it in the mouth, it goes to the stomach, the whole body gets nourished. If the hand is rebellious, and it picks up the food and tries to enjoy it separately, you know, squishing it in the fingers, it doesn't get the benefit of the food. You know, it has to cooperate and give the food to the mouth and go down to the belly and go through that fire of digestion, which is Krishna, and then the body will become healthy. Now, there's also a story, I heard it in one Bhagavatam class, I don't know where it's from, but it's the a story of two different rooms of people, and they have spoons, but their spoons are longer than their arm. So, and the spoons are attached to their arms, they can't get it off. And so in one room, the guru brings this one person, and he looks at all the people, and they're there, and they're fighting, and they're miserable, because when they pick up the food with their spoon, they can't get it into their mouth, because it's longer than their arm. So they can't eat that way, trying to do it themselves. So then they go to another room, and everybody's all happy, and they're jolly, and he sees that they're feeding each other. You know, they have their spoon, and they're feeding each other. So this is a good example that to learn that it's trying to serve ourselves, we don't become happy. It's only by serving Krishna and by serving others, you know, the servants of Krishna, that we can actually have happiness and peace. And there's the this is actually the peace formula. It's the verse in Bhagavad Gita. It's 5:29. In English? Supreme Controller, the Supreme Enjoyer, object of all sacrifices.
Lord Master of all lands.
Lord Master of all, yeah. The owner of everything.
A person in full consciousness of me, knowing me to be the ultimate beneficiary of all sacrifices and austerities, the Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, obtains peace from the pangs of material
visions. And Srila Prabhupada quotes in that purport that this is the peace formula, that people have to accept Krishna, everything belongs to Krishna, everything is, you know, meant for his pleasure, and we are his eternal servants, as is all other living entities are also his eternal servants. And it's interesting, Krishna says these things, and of course, he wants to help us. Just like in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, always think of me. And it's a very loving, you know, instruction. But if you don't think of Krishna, then you're going to be stuck in repeated birth and death and have to suffer. So, you know, he's saying these things, not... I know I've talked to, you know, non-devotees and had new people in Bhagavad Gita class that, you know, they have the question, oh, it sounds like, you know, Krishna is puffed up or he's, you know, always think of me. But it's not like that at all. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's trying to help us, you know, because if we don't think of them, then we're going to be just stuck in this suffering, samsara, the cycle of birth and death. So the same with, you know, the peace formula. This is, you know, for our benefit, and Krishna wants us more than we even want to go back home, back to Godhead, to him. There's on a morning walk in New York, and this was maybe 72 or something. And they were in New York City walking, and across the street there was this one man. He was holding his son up to a mailbox so the little kid could put the letter in the mailbox. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Just see, you know, without the help of the Father, you know, he can't do it." So it's in the same way, without like Krishna's help, we can't perform devotional service. You can't do anything, you know, without without Krishna's help. So we should remember these things. We should, you know, be hearing these things constantly every day. This is our spiritual food. This will give us strength in spiritual life so that we can overcome, you know, the temptations of Maya. So, are there any questions or comments so far? Yes, Sharanga Thakur.
Krishna Prabhu, thank you. Sort of half question, half thought about demigod worship.
Because
you were talking about what we hear from Prabhupada, that we're destined a certain amount of happiness, a certain amount of distress. So someone that worships the demigods, they're still within the realm of karma, so it doesn't seem like they could get awarded anything that's really not coming to them anyway. Is that the right understanding?
Yes.
Good.
Prabhu? Jamastami? Oh.
I thought the whole idea is by performing karma kanda, our future karma gets adjusted.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but then... it's not really relevant because they're going to suffer like anything anyway, because they're going to face death, disease, and old age. So the ideal is to become transcendental to karma by practicing bhakti. And
right.
We're not under the laws of karma anymore. Any difficulties we experience, any successes, it's directly coming from Krishna.
Yeah, because everywhere in the material world, from the highest planet down to the lowest planet, there's all repeated birth and death. And for the spirit soul, that's miserable. Yeah.
When I was in India in 1976, when Srila Prabhupada was there, one day the women went out on pilgrimage, visited, you know, all different holy places, Chandrakund, Radhakund. On the way back, the bus broke down, and it was night, you know, it was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And, when we got back, a devotee came up and said, "Oh, and Srila Prabhupada has been waiting up." And he was like, "Where are the women?" You know, he was very worried about if he would get home safely. And then
right.
He said, Srila Prabhupada had tears in his eyes. He said, I'm worried that when I'm gone, that the women will not be taken care of properly.
Yeah, thank you.
It was pointed out that Lord Chaitanya, he made sure everybody was filled up to their neck.
Yeah.
So I think that expression is still around. You know, when you're full, you know, you go like up to here.
Yeah.
So that one's been around for quite a while.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. Just taking prasadam, because I think it was either last week or the week before Guru Maharaj had that class where he was just talking about how incredible, of course, that song in Sri Radha Jal by Bhaktivinoda again, pointing out that we make advancement, we become, we realize Krishna by the tongue.
Yeah.
And so there was the two functions, Haribol.
Yeah, and take prasadam. Yeah,
and take prasadam. So we see Lord Chaitanya himself was setting that example of prasadam. And we also, in the beginning, I think it was when Prabhupada was talking with a group of his devotees, and they said, Prabhupada had said, I think you've all come because of prasadam. And even you too, Abhiram. So this prasadam, it's not an ordinary thing. It's not like food distribution or something. It actually has this incredible potency that's...
Exactly.
And we see here at this past time, our Lord Chaitanya fed everyone, fed the beggars, and just to ask them to chant. And of course, if we can remember back that long ago, the Sunday feast, some of us came to the Sunday feast before we were devotees. Mm-hmm. I did. I was visiting my brother across the street from the L.A. temple, and he said that they look a little funny, but their food's good. So I did go across the street. I looked through the crack in the door, and they were still talking.
Yeah.
So there was about five of us waiting out on the sidewalk and kept looking about every 5 minutes. When are they ever going to stop talking? So finally, the lecture was over, and they opened the doors, and we went in and took the prasadam. And I remember it took me about 6 months one time to figure out what was one of the preps. These little square, kind of brownish, chewy things in the rice.
Oh.
Yeah. It was deep-fried curd.
Yeah, curd.
But you generally don't have that unless you're a devotee. And then there was samosas. Can still remember, like, the excitement and, what is this?
Yeah.
It tastes so good.
Samosas with a twisted edge.
Yeah, right. You learn a little. The brahmacharis lined up on Sunday, and they all learned how to twist and twist and squeeze with your thumb and forefinger.
There's a story that Satsarupa Maharaj told me. It was in the early days of New York in 1966, and Srila Prabhupada had gone up to Dr. Mishra's ashram. But Satsarupa and I believe Brahmananda had to stay down in New York City because they were working. So after work, you know, they got in a car and they drove up to upstate New York where Dr. Mishra had his ashram. And when they got there, they were just sitting down to take prasadam. And there was like a big, long table outside. And people were, you know, sitting at the table, like Dr. Mishra's people on one side and Prabhupada's devotees on the other side of the table. And Srila Prabhupada called them over because they had just got there, and had them sit down right next to him. And Dr. Mishra's people were all microbiotic. That was like their diet, you know, brown rice and things. But of course, Srila Prabhupada was, the devotees were prasadam. So he had, Satsarupa was sitting right next to Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada personally started serving him, you know, from his plate. He gave him some chapatis, and there was like a big container of sugar, and Prabhupada took the sugar and poured like a big mountain on his chapati. And, you know, all the microbiotic people, their eyes get real big, you know, seeing all the sugar. And then I asked Satsarupa, he said, did you eat it? And he said, yeah, of course. You know, it was prasadam from Srila Prabhupada. And, you know, the idea is that it's transcendental. And of course, it also depends on your realization, but it is transcendental because there's the story of Pallad Maharaj that Hiranyakasipu tried to poison him, and he put, you know, poison in his food, but Pallad offered it and it became prasadam, and therefore it didn't have any effect on him. So this can be a big topic, and it's wonderful because we do it every day, and we should really have, you know, a good consciousness that, you know, it's spiritual. It's actually Krishna. We're putting, you know, Krishna inside of us. Lord Chaitanya even told Jagai, no, Madai, that, you know, when prasadam, I enter into your body every time you eat prasadam. So, yeah, Ragatmika.
I'll tell the story of when I first had prasadam. I went to the Sunday feast for the first time, and I was a macrobiotic.
Okay.
Also, very strict, very bland diet.
Did you eat sugar?
No.
No.
Okay, so here I was, sitting across at the Sunday feast, sitting across from Gandharvika, and she didn't finish everything on her plate. I finished everything on my plate, and I finished what she didn't finish on her plate. And when we got up, of course, I took seconds, too. And when everybody left the gallery, this was Henry Street, which was called the gallery upstairs, to go back down to the temple from Morikirtan or something, there were plates left all over the place, and I went and just scraped up every bit of prasadam I could find. It was totally on me, you know.
Yeah.
But it was like I had just arrived home for the first, again, to home cooking, you know, or whatever. Yeah. Krishna prasadam. And the next day I was in a sari distributing back to Godheads on Jones Beach.
Yeah. The story of the first prasadam I ever had was, it was a Sunday evening, and the devotees came to the town where I was living, and they put on a little program. And this was in Marblehead, Massachusetts, in the fall of 1970. And they brought with them prasadam, and they gave a little talk, and they passed out prasadam. And Parikshit, the artist, was devotee, and he sat right in front of me, and he gave me a samosa. And, you know, I'd never seen anything like this, and he said, you know, this is spiritual food. You know, you eat it, you become purified, it's transcendental. And I saw, you know, it was like twisted, little rope twist on it. I'd never seen anything like it. You know, so I took a big bite of it, and I looked inside, and I could see there was peas in it. So I said, hey, there's peas in it. I thought you said this was spiritual. You know, but then he explained it so nicely. He started, you know, talking about prasadam, and he gave the example of an iron rod. You know, if you put it into fire, it becomes hot, it becomes red hot, and then it becomes like fire. You know, wherever you touch it, it'll start a fire. And he was saying how, you know, prasadam, it may be made out of these, you know, material things like peas, but it's spiritual, and it has that completely spiritual potency. And the next day, after I hitchhiked, you know, into Boston and moved into the temple, after eating the prasadam.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So the topic of prasadam, I'm just wondering, because I feel almost like there's like an attack, you could say, on prasadam these days. At least the way it just seems like that to me. Like, this is not healthy, too much sugar, I'm a vegan, whatever, whatever. And yeah, so I'm finding it very confusing, because it's not just from outside, it's from within the movement.
Yeah, sure.
So I don't know, I wonder how to understand that, I just don't know how to understand that.
Yeah, I don't know if I completely understand it either. I know that, you know, we offer Krishna what he likes. You know, and Srila Prabhupada has given us, you know, guidelines of what to offer to the deity, and he likes milk products, you know, and sugar. So we offer it to Krishna, and if we take the remnants, you know, we become purified. So that's the, you know, the principle. Now, you know, for health purposes, if you, you know, you don't want to take so much of these things, or if you have to, you may have to refrain from some things. But, you know, I'm not exactly sure how to answer that, but the principle is that you should only eat prasadam, you know, and if you want to offer, you know, vegan things and eat that also, that's okay. But, you know, for the deities, we have to offer, you know, what Srila Prabhupada has given us. Other people? I don't know if that helped or not.
Well, I mean, I've heard even that there are temples where they don't offer milk products.
There are, she said there are some temples that don't offer milk products.
On the day that I was initiated in Portland, Oregon, back in 72, I'm sure Prabhupada had gone to an eating program. He was giving a lecture in Eugene, Oregon, and he came back very late at night after 11 o'clock. And it was just myself and two household couples there. And his servant, Nanda Kumar, Srila Prabhupada came in and they went upstairs. And immediately, Nanda Kumar came running down saying, Srila Prabhupada's hungry. He's been out preaching all day. He hasn't eaten his breakfast. He wants six porries, very hot, and a bowl of white sugar and hot milk. And he'll roll the sugar in the porries and dip it in the milk and eat that. And we were surprised, but we immediately made that and sent it up.
Yeah. Yeah, that always is there.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, there are some other guidelines, even though it's prasadam and you're supposed to eat up to the neck, you're also not supposed to overeat, or overeating is a cause of fall down.
So. I think also that we could be. Well, one is that we should offer the best possible bhoga to the deities, you know, with love.
Yeah.
And that might include doing it with organic bhoga.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the whole agribusiness, it's just a fact that it creates a lot of disease. You know, these chemicals and the GMOs and what have you. But I think that some of this, you know, could be understood with utility as a principle. So on a practical level, if a devotee, like for instance, has a high cholesterol reading in a lab test, then he cuts down. Or if someone becomes lactose intolerant, I was with a team of doctors at Satasanga retreat. There's one devotee, Gopinath, who's an integrative medicine practitioner. He's an MD, who works with the VA in Denver, and he just did extensive research on the powerful impact, positively powerful impact, that chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra has on health. And so I'm helping him further that research, because it's actually what the Dalai Lama did, you know, with Buddhist meditation. He got all these researchers to prove that it was helpful for people's well-being and health.
Yeah.
And as a result, psychotherapists worldwide now use mindful meditation. You can imagine what would take place if you go to a psychologist for therapy. And so today, from now on, chant six rounds a day. You know, and this might be a worldwide phenomenon. anyway, I'm sidetracking a little bit, but there was one doctor, there was a whole team of doctors that were coming together because they're really interested in you know, furthering this research. And a very sweet Vaishnavi from Dallas? I think, yeah, Dallas. And she had, when she was a practicing devotee for many years. And when she was in medical school, she'd have these asthmatic attacks. And then when the pollen season came, you know, her body would just freak out. So somehow or other, she got the intelligence to eliminate milk from her diet, and all of those issues cleared. So, you know, I think another big factor with the this vegan movement is the that there's a lack of ahimsa dairy products. And so there are many devotees that they would opt if it were available for ahimsa dairy, but they eat vegan because they're just so concerned about the hellish cow slaughter that goes on, this agribusiness.
Yeah.
And I think that's, in one sense, an evolution of consciousness that, you know, just like, wow, let's just not go there. Let's get our own cows. You know, it's kind of prompting that development. You know, just it's a compassionate move.
Yeah.
That's my sense with that. But I don't, you know, I think that there may be some erosion of faith among some people, but others, you know, are going ahead, understanding, you know, the utility as a principal factor and applying it accordingly. We've seen a lot of elderly devotees that are having serious health issues. And, I mean, this Yamaraj, you know, he attributes, you know, the cancer that he's developed to two things, the photographic chemicals that he was exposed to, and, you know, prasadam that wasn't, you know, offered from a boga that was really appropriate, you know, for health. And so there's a certain level of transcendence, but on the other hand, you know, there's that practical realm that we have to deal with. You know, to eat only organics is not a bad thing to do these days. You know?
It's always better if you grow your own.
That's the point, and this is what Prabhupada wanted. So moving in that direction is an auspicious thing. You know, and there's been quite a delay in achieving, you know, what Prabhupada wanted out of us. Been having a lot of discussions with Tapapunj lately, you know, and he has a website called The Second Half, which is all about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some very dedicated devotees to bringing this about. I think it's just kind of a paradigm shift that's underway, you know, to actually get to achieve what Prabhupada wanted. And I personally don't see it as inauspicious or something that's an attack on prasadam, but it's just bringing it to everything to a higher standard in our movement to fulfill Prabhupada's desire and make the offerings even better that are made to the deities. Hare Krishna.
Anything else? Mamai?
I thought I'd add my two cents. So what I remember about that instruction to eat as much as possible, like, you know, full, was supposed to be for the first 6 months we're devotees. And then we're supposed to control ourselves. So that was my understanding. Plus, when you look back on what our diet was back in the old days, it was very simple prasadam all week, and then we'd feast on Sunday. So that's not like just eat anything you want and sweets and so on all week long. It was restricted, and then once a week. So if we, you know, think of it like that, that's, because we were living in the temple, and whatever, you know, whatever we ate, we got from the temple. But now that mostly we're independent householders, we get to choose. We don't follow a diet quite like that.
Thank you. Yeah, and there are so many instructions where, you know, they're talking about eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. You know, you're supposed to cut down on it. And there's examples like Raghunath Das Goswami, who was only eating like a little bit of buttermilk, you know. And these are also, you know, examples that we need to look up to and try to emulate at some point. So, anything else? Or we can go now and take prasadam? Okay, thank you very much. Hare Bol. Glories to Srila Prabhupada.